Good morning. Before we repeat from last weekend, oh, how great a grace it is to have a spiritual director. One makes more rapid progress in virtue, sees the will of God more clearly, fulfills it more faithfully, and follows a road that is sure and free of dangers. So it needs lots of humility. Because sometimes you have the kind of inspiration from the Lord, not directly. So you might think that you have all the grace. Of course, you have all the grace. But sometimes God works in another way, you know. As Faustina, many times she directly can see the Lord. But many times you say, you ask the confessor, he will tell you. Jesus won't tell her directly something. So it's humility. So she might think, I have all the grace direct from the Lord. Why have to ask a priest for consultation? Jesus worked in this way. The director knows how to avoid the rocks against which the soul could be shattered. The Lord gave me this grace rather late, to be sure, but I rejoice in it greatly, seeing how God inclines his will to my director's wishes. So you need to kind of obeying. I will mention just one incident out of a thousand that have happened to me. As I usually do, I asked the Lord Jesus one evening to give me the points for next day's meditation. I received the answer. Meditate on the prophet Jonah and his mission. I thank the Lord. I began to think within myself of how different that subject was from the others. But with all my soul, I strove to meditate about it and recognized myself in the person of the prophet, in the sense that often I, too, try to make excuses to the Lord, exclaiming that someone else would do his holy will better than I could, and not understanding that God can do all things and that his omnipotence will be all the more manifest if the tool is poor. God made this clear to me in the following way. That afternoon, there was confession for the community. When I presented to the director of my soul the fear that seized me because of this mission for which God was using me, clumsy tool that I was, my spiritual father answered that, willing or not, we must carry out the will of God. And he gave me the prophet Jonah as a confessor, And he gave me the prophet Jonah as an example. The confessor asked her to meditate on prophet Jonah. But the night before already, the Lord asked her to meditate on prophet Jonah. You know, the priest doesn't know anything. That's an example. After the confession, I wondered how the confessor knew that God had told me to meditate about Jonah. Surely I myself had not told him. Then I heard these words. When the priest acts in my place, he does not act of himself, but I act through him. His wishes are mine. It's a miracle. It's a mystery. Many times you don't want to say and say something that you might not think beforehand. And sometimes the Lord using us. We don't know. Some people say, Father, how do you know? I was almost thinking that moment. I said, I don't know anything. But when they say something, because the Lord is using us to give some messages, we don't know. I can see how Jesus defends his representatives. He himself enters into his actions. He is the word. Jesus is the one who works. Choose Thursday, when I started the holy hour, I wanted to immerse myself in the agony of Jesus in the Garden of Olives. Then I heard a voice in my soul, meditate on the mystery of the incarnation. And suddenly the infant Jesus appeared before me, radiant with beauty. He told me how much God is pleased with simplicity in a soul. Simplicity. We are too complicated. Thinking too many reasons at the back and what we think people think and what all confusion. Just one mind, simple mind. You know, too complicated. Isn't it? Right, sister? We are too complicated. Too many anxiety, too many things to solve and don't know what to solve and then and Jesus' word. Although my greatness is beyond understanding, I commune only with those who are little. I demand of you a childlike spirit. You know, one of the visionary of Medjugorje, Maria, she said, when Mary appeared to her, the attitude of Mary is a kind of something so as if she's begging that Maria can be there. That's like mother, no? When the children come to her, the mother so delighted. Thank you. Because the child can go away. They might not listen to you at all. And the attitude of our Heavenly Mother is so kind, so just as a begging that you, thank you so much, you come to me. In fact, it's vice versa. We are so delighted you come to us. But he said, no, thank you, you come to me. And then once she said, in heaven, our Heavenly Mother is the least of all. But she's the greatest. Humanity. I now see clearly how God acts through the confessor and how faithfully he keeps his promises. 2 weeks ago, my confessor told me to reflect upon this spiritual childhood. It was somewhat difficult at first, but my confessor, disregarding my difficulties, told me to continue to reflect upon spiritual childhood. In practice, this spiritual childhood, the confessor says, should manifest itself in this way. A child does not worry about the past or the future, but makes use of the present moment. Child. I want to emphasize that spiritual childlikeness in you, sister, and I place great stress upon it. I can see how God bows down to my confessor's wishes. He does not show himself to me at this time as a teacher in the fullness of his strength and human utterhood, but as a little child. The God who is beyond all understanding stoops to me under the appearance of a little child. Simple. No future, no past, only the present moment. A child. Jesus desired. But the eye of my soul does not stop at this appearance. Although you take the form of a little child, I see in you the immortal, infinite Lord of Lords, whom pure spirits adore and knight, and for whom the heart of the seraphim burns with the fire of the purest love. O Christ, O Jesus, I want to surpass them in my love for you. I apologize to you, O pure spirits, for my boldness in comparing myself to you. I, this chasm of misery, this abyss of misery, and you, O God, who art the incomprehensible abyss of mercy, swallow me up as the heat of the sun swallows up a drop of dew. A loving look from you will fill up any abyss. I feel immensely happy at the greatness of God. Seeing God's greatness is more than enough to make me happy throughout all eternity. Once when I saw Jesus in the form of a little child, I asked, Jesus, why do you now take on the form of a child when you commune with me? In spite of this, I still see in you the infinite God, my Lord and Creator. So although Jesus appeared as a child, but still, you know, with your human knowledge, still you're great, magnificent. Jesus replied that until I learned simplicity and humility, he will commune with me as a little child. Don't think too much. During Holy Mass, when the Lord Jesus was exposed in the Blessed Sacrament before Holy Communion, I saw two rays coming out from the Blessed Host. This is the heart, no? The two rays from the Host. Just as they are painted in the image, one of them red and the other pale. And they were reflected on each of the sisters and wards, but not on all in the same way. On some of them, the rays were barely visible. It was the last day of the children's retreat. November 22nd, 1934. On one occasion, my spiritual director, Father Sopoko, told me to look carefully into myself and to examine whether I had any attachment to some particular objects or creature, or even to myself, or whether I engaged in useless chatter. For all these things, he said, get in the way of the Lord Jesus, who wants complete freedom in directing your soul. God is jealous of our hearts and wants us to love him alone. Purity of love for the Lord. Lord, that Jesus is one of your lovers. He is unique. No other distractions. That's Jesus wants us. When we come to prayer, one mind, one heart. Direct, nothing else. God is jealous of our hearts and wants us to love him alone. When I started to look deep within myself, I didn't find any attachment to anything, but as in all things that concern me, so also in this matter, I was afraid and distrustful of myself. Tired out of this detailed self-examination, I went before the Blessed Sacrament and asked Jesus with all my heart, Jesus, my spouse, treasure of my heart, you know that I know you, unknown, and that I have no other love but you. But Jesus, if I were about to become attached to anything that is not you, I beg and entreat you, Jesus, by the power of your mercy, let instant death descend upon me, for I prefer to die 1,000 times than to be unfaithful to you once in even the smallest thing. At that moment, Jesus suddenly stood before me, coming, I know not from where, radiant with unbelievable beauty, clothed in a white garment, with uplifted arms, and he spoke these words to me, my daughter, your heart is my spouse. It is my delight. I find in it everything that is refused me by so many souls. Tell this to my representative. I say again, my daughter, your heart is my repose. It is my delight. I find in it everything that is refused me by so many souls. Tell this to my representative. And an instant later, I saw nothing, but a whole ocean of consolation entered my soul. I know now that nothing can put a stop to my love for you, Jesus. Neither suffering, nor adversity, nor fire, nor the sword, nor death itself. I feel stronger than all these things. Nothing can compare with love. I see that the smallest things done by a soul that loves God sincerely have an enormous value in His holy eyes. November 5th, 1934. One morning when it was my duty to open the gates to let out our people who deliver baked goods, I entered the little chapel to visit Jesus for a minute and to renew the intention of the day. Today, Jesus, I offer you all my sufferings, mortifications, and prayers for the intention of the Holy Father, so that He may approve the feasts of mercy. But Jesus, I have one more word to say to you. I am very surprised that you bid me to talk about this feast of mercy, for they tell me that there is already such a feast, and so why should I talk about it? And Jesus said to me, "And who knows anything about this feast? No one, even those who should be proclaiming my mercy and teaching people about it, often do not know about it themselves. That is why I want the image to be solemnly blessed on the first Sunday after Easter, and want it to be venerated publicly so that every soul may know about it." Make a novena for the Holy Father intention. It should consist of 33 acts. That is repetition that many times of the short prayer which I have taught you to the Divine Mercy. Suffering is the greatest treasure on earth. It purifies the soul. In suffering, we learn who our true friend is. True love is measured by the thermometer of suffering. Jesus, I thank you for the little daily crosses, for oppositions to my endeavors, for the hardships of communal life, for the misinterpretation of my intentions, for humiliations at the hand of others, for the harsh way in which we are treated, for false suspicions, for poor health and loss of strength, for self-denial, for dying to myself, for lack of recognition in everything, for upsetting of all my plans. Thank you, Jesus, for interior sufferings, for the dryness of spirit, for terrors, fears, incertitudes, for the darkness and the deep mind of nights, for temptations and various ordeals, for torments too difficult to describe, especially those which no one will understand, for the hour of death with its fierce struggle and all its bitterness. I thank you, Jesus, you who first drank the cup of bitterness before you gave it to me in much milder form. I put my lips to this cup of my holy will, of your holy will. Let all be done according to your good pleasure. Let that which your wisdom ordained before the age be done to me. I want to drink the cup to its last drop and not ask to know the reason why. Many times we ask why it happened this way. Why? Thousands of why. Just with simplicity. When it comes, thank you, Jesus. In so many words, thank you, Jesus. This should be our prayer, daily prayer. If something you don't understand, thank you, Jesus. Not because, why? 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 O uncreated beauty, whoever comes to you to know you once cannot love anything else. I can feel the bottomless abyss of my soul, and nothing will fill it but God Himself. I feel that I am drowned in Him, like a single grain of sand in the bottomless ocean. December 20th, 1934, one evening, as I entered my cell, I saw the Lord Jesus exposed in the monstrance under the open sky. As it seemed, at the feet of Jesus, I saw my confessor, and behind him, a great number of highest-ranking ecclesiastics clothed in vestments, the light of which I had never seen except in this vision. And behind them, groups of religious from various orders, and further still, I saw enormous crowds of people which extended far beyond my vision. I saw the two rays coming out from the host, and the image closely united but not intermingled, and they passed through the hands of my confessor and then through the hands of the clergy and from the hands of the people, and then they returned to the host. At that moment, I saw myself once again in the cell which I had just entered. This is like a vision, no? I say again, the vision, very beautiful. Just imagine how one evening as I entered my cell, I saw the Lord Jesus exposed in the monstrance under the open sky, as it seemed. At the feet of Jesus, I saw my confessor, and behind him, a great number of highest ranking ecclesiastics, clothed in vestments like the light of which I had never seen except in this vision. And behind them, groups of religious from various orders. And further still, I saw enormous crowds of people which extended far beyond my vision. I saw the two rays coming up from the host, as in the image, closely united but not intermingled. Two rays together but not mixed. And they passed through the hands of my confessor, and then through the hands of the clergy, and from the hands to the people, and then they returned to the host. And at that moment, I saw myself once again in the cell which I had just entered. December 22nd, 1934. When it was possible for me to go to confession during the week, I happened to get there when my confessor was saying Holy Mass. During the third part of the Mass, I saw the infant Jesus is a little smaller than usual, and with this difference, that he was wearing a violet tunic. He usually has a white one. December 24th, 1934, the vigil of Christmas. During Holy Mass, I felt the closeness of God. Though I was hardly aware of it, my spirit was drowned in God. Suddenly, I heard these words: "You are my delighted, you are my delightful dwelling place. My spirit rests in you." After these words, I felt the Lord looking into the depths of my heart and seeing my misery. I humbled myself in spirit and admired the immense mercy of God, that the Most High Lord would approach such misery. During Holy Communion, joy filled my soul. I felt that I am closely united to the Godhead. His omnipotence enveloped my whole being. Throughout the whole day, I felt the closeness of God in a special way. And although my duties prevented me throughout the whole day from going to chapel even for a moment, there was not a moment when I was not united with God. I felt Him within me more direct, distinctly than ever. Unceasingly, greeting the Mother of God and entering into His Spirit, I begged her to teach me true love of God. And then I heard these words: I will share with you the secrets of my happiness this night during Holy Mass. We had supper at 6 o'clock. Despite all the joy and the external noise accompanying the sharing of the wafer and the mutual exchange of good wishes, I did not for a moment lose the awareness of God's presence. After supper, we hurried away to finish our work. And at night, I was able to go to the chapel for adoration. I was allowed to stay up and wait for the midnight mass. I was delighted to have free time from 9 until midnight. From 9 to 10 o'clock, I offered my adoration for my parents and my whole family. From 10 to 11, I offered it for the intention of my spiritual director. In the first place, thanking God for granting me this great visible help here on earth, just as He had promised me, and also asked God to grant him the necessary lights so that he could get to know my soul and guide me according to God's good pleasure. And from 11 to 12, I prayed for the Holy Church and the clergy, for sinners, for the missions, and for our houses. I offered the indulgence for the souls in purgatory.